wake me up when it's all over.
That wake up guy was trouble.
Yo, get out of bed. What are you doing? You're late. You're late. You're late.
I'm wide awake.
Come on, everybody. Wake up. Rise and shine.
Wake me up when September ends.
Come on, sleepyhead. It's time to wake up.
Wake up, will you, pal?
Wake up.
This is my wake-up show.
Now waking you up from the palatial Bob and Sherry studios, it's Bob and Sherry.
Oh, how's everybody doing this beautiful Monday, the first day of daylight savings time? Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
So, you know, something really sweet and romantic happened for me over the weekend, and just want to share it. You know, I've been with Kevin for a long time, like 15 years, which is a record for me, and I'm very pleased by it. I might get a t-shirt made. But in that much time, like, you don't, after a while, you know, you're just kind of doing your thing together as a couple, you know, as a team, and it's not as sappy and gooey as it was in the early days of your relationship. Although since he's been, immobilized and my prisoner after his leg rebuilding, we've certainly had a lot more like fun romantic couple time than we'd had in a while because he can't escape me. And on Saturday, he said something.
I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you, wheel boy.
Sometimes just for funsies, I'll just move his crutches ever so slightly out of reach. And then I'll say, would you like to talk about the mummified aliens they found in Peru? And I see him looking frantically about. And there's nowhere to go. So on Saturday, he said something to me, though, that made me feel so seen and so cherished and so loved. He said to me, "Ah, crap, woman. You're going to be miserable for days because of this time change, aren't you?" And I was like, "Oh, you noticed? You see how much I hate springing forward? I feel very seen in this marriage." Because it's true. It
doesn't
matter.
Do you want to hear what it
matter.
Does? Do you want to hear what it
I
does?
Do I do want to hear because it ruins okay. me.
Yeah. It, you know, falling back in the autumn doesn't really affect people, I don't think, all that much. But springing forward does. It affects your mental health when your body doesn't receive enough sleep. It impacts the frontal lobe of your brain. Changes in hormone regulation. It impacts your body's ability to rhythmically produce melatonin. Increased risk of heart issues. Research has found an increase in heart attacks and strokes for the first 2 weeks right after the clock changes. I didn't know that. That is kind of scary. People that have heart issues. Impact on metabolism and weight regulation. And an exacerbation of pre-existing health conditions by elevating risk factors. So all of that just sounds like a bunch of mumbo jumbo, but the bottom line is you kind of messed up for about 2 weeks in many cases.
I feel it. And I know that people, it drives me crazy when people go, "That's all in your head." Well, what else do I have? All I have is my head. I want, everything's in my head. The reality's right. in my head. My entire experience of life is in my head. I feel it hard. And that's even, you know, we flip forward on Saturday night, you know, because they think, well, maybe you'll get to sleep in on Sunday. But the problem is that your body clock's your body clock. And God help you if you have cats or kids or dogs or whatever. Because like my animals, they have no understanding of the time change. And, you know, neither, like I hate it so much. I just wish we would pick a time and stick to it.
Some other side effects are more stress resulting in, listen to this, increased traffic fatalities, hospital admissions for severe health impacts like strokes and heart attacks, and much more. You can guard against those things, but, well, you know what they always say, you know, drink a lot of water, try to go to bed at the same time, that sort of thing.
I'm not doing any of that, and neither are you, and don't even pretend you are. Don't even act like you're gonna.
I'm not.
That I hate the one of the pieces of advice that I despise most in this world is when they say you should go to bed at the same time every single night. Yeah, well, you should try doing morning radio, Jim, and maybe you want to get your ass out of bed at 4 a.m. on a Saturday. I don't think so.
You know, it doesn't bother me quite as much because, you know, I don't have mood swings. So
it no, just, you're very it, level it just and consistent.
Doesn't yeah. really affect yeah. me, you know, at all.
Yeah. No, you're very even keeled, yeah. as we say.
Yeah, I'm very lucky
when
that
people
way,
say to me, "You've known Bob a long time. What's he like?" I say, mm-hmm. "Oh, he is even keeled. Yes, he
even keeled. Yeah, no increased anxiety, no sleep, no
nothing
disorders.
Bothers the man. Yeah, yeah. We call him the duck because everything rolls yeah. right off his back.
Yes. That's right.
Let me tell all the sleepy, cranky folks what we have coming up for you today. Dusty Slay right. talking about daylight savings time. We're going to talk about, well, of course, we have the Bob and Sherry box office. Planet Hollywood is going under, and they're selling off like tons and tons of memorabilia. So if you have your heart set on the eye patch Kurt Russell wore as Snake Plissken, get your credit card out. You might have a shot at it. Morons in the News is coming up. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry say enough with the cats. It's time to celebrate dogs with the Love My Pup contest.
You're just a doggone diggity dog, on diggity dog.
Enter your pups on the contest tab at bobandsherry.com and you could win $100, $150, or $250 worth of Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. Real ingredients, freeze-dried raw, and dogs love it. Get up to 54% off your first order. Plus, free Tilly's Treasures.
Doggone diggity dog, on diggity dog.
Visit drmartyspets.com/bob.
Instant access to the podcast, oddcast, fun size, and more with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Guys, I just learned the most fascinating little nugget about a hit TV show that's coming to an end. I watch it and Lamar watches it, and I know that the rest of you don't, but it's Young Sheldon, which yes. is the spinoff from Big Bang Theory, Sheldon Cooper as a child. Well, right. it's ending because a lot of people were like, how can you end this show? It's a giant hit. For a couple yeah. of reasons. One, in the Big Bang universe, Sheldon Cooper gets accepted at Caltech when he's 14 years old and leaves his family in Texas behind and goes to college at 14. And so Chuck Lorre, who created the show, said, we knew that the best time for the young Sheldon story to end would be when Sheldon turns 14 and heads to Caltech, because that's when the Big Bang Theory kind of show lore begins, right? But here's the thing that I learned that is such a cool nugget. Chuck Lorre said that they had the idea for the show, they had the story fleshed out, all of that, but they had decided not to go through with it because they could not find an actor to play the young Sheldon Cooper. And that's when a package came in the mail. Ian Armitage, who plays the character, his mom sent in a tape with Ian doing a scene that Chuck Lorre had written, and that was it. Chuck Lorre watched the tape and he said he killed it, and if that hadn't happened, we wouldn't have gone forward. It's a miracle to cast young Sheldon. It was one we thought was not going to happen, but it did. And once we had this child actor, the whole family blossomed and grew around him. And wow. I never knew that about the show.
No,
you know, that was the whole, right, Lamar? That was the whole yeah. reason that it went yeah. forward.
I didn't watch the show for years. I made a mistake. I didn't watch the show for years. I sat down on Netflix and I binged this thing straight. If you have not watched the show, if you care anything about the Big Bang Theory, and even if you don't, this show stands on its own and you are constantly laughing in every episode. The characters
so
are
is,
fantastic.
Does he, is it a new actor that takes over as he goes to Caltech?
No.
No, it's his brother. His brother.
The show his ends when grown, he goes yeah, to Caltech. Brother. Yeah.
But
the show,
a new show
Sheldon
starring
is
his
ending.
Brother. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But the new show stars his brother.
Mm-hmm. So here's the fun thing. In the series finale, which is going to air. I'm so sad, Lamar. The series finale is going to air on May 16th. And Jim Parsons and Mayim Bialik, who plays Sheldon Cooper's wife, Amy Farrah Fowler, are going to appear in the final episode. I have no idea how or what, because Chuck Lorre hasn't leaked that. But for fans of the show, that's what's coming. Mm. It's just a neat one of those little Hollywood origin stories, because you always wonder, especially with child actors, like, where'd this kid come from with this incredible
Can I play
talent?
Just a bit of this? This is something that's going around. Sheldon is talking to his mother about the existence of God.
Oh, it's great.
Hang on a second.
Did you know that if gravity were slightly more powerful, the universe would collapse into a ball?
I did not.
Also, if gravity were slightly less powerful, the universe would fly apart and there'd be no stars or planets.
Where are you going with this, Sheldon?
It's just that gravity is precisely as strong as it needs to be. And if the ratio of the electromagnetic force to the strong force wasn't 1%, life wouldn't exist. What are the odds that would happen all by itself?
Why are you trying to convince me to believe in God?
The precision of the universe at least makes it logical to conclude there's a creator. There are 5 billion people on this planet, and you're the perfect mom for me. What are the odds of that?
What a scene that was. Oh, my gosh. All right, we got Morons in the News next. It's Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Let's do it. It's Bob and Sherry.
Get these morons off the air.
With Morons in the News.
Okay, this first moron in the news story. First of all, some of you are going to think, well, this guy's not really a moron. He wasn't, you know, robbing a convenience store or something. I know, but I have to put it in this position. I'm going to ask you all a question after I read this, okay? So be ready. A Welshman showed his love for his favorite animal by getting a record-breaking 69 different tattoos of rabbits on his body. Craig Evans, who is 42 years old, said he got his first rabbit tattoo in 2009. He now has, as I said, a total of 69 rabbits inked on his arms, his legs, and his chest. I love the aesthetic of a rabbit, Evans told the Guinness Book of World Records. They're such cute creatures. And the juxtaposition of getting something so cute as a tattoo, which is usually renowned for being a tough person's thing, it's something that I really like. I'm looking at one of the tattoos, and it's a smiling bunny, kind of cartoonish looking. He is currently unable to have a pet rabbit, and so that's why he has 69 rabbits on his body. He has a dog, and he said, this dog, Birdie, would not be a good companion to a bunch of rabbits. So he's in the Guinness Book of World Records now for having 69 rabbits tattooed all over his body, and here is my question. If you are the person that has the 69 tattoos and you are now on the third date, you've just met someone and it's time for the third date, do you tell that person that night at the beginning of the third date?
This came up on the first date.
You brought this up on the first date, Lamar?
I'm just saying she would ask you that. If you had that many tattoos, she would ask you about tattoos, and then you'd tell her.
This guy does not have tattoos on his neck or face. They're on. So if he's wearing a long-sleeve shirt and pants, she would not know.
I wouldn't tell her.
I'll say this. It's too bad I'm not single because I'm so fascinated by rabbits. They are the creepiest, freakiest, most weird creatures. I did a whole True Weird Stuff episode on what they're like on the inside. Bring on your 69 bunny tattoos, sir. I would find that
interesting. I want you to be honest with me. The guy takes off his shirt and you see that there are tattoos all over his body. You are not a little bit freaked out and saying to yourself, I don't know if this is going to go the distance here. Do I want to look at bunny rabbits on him for the rest of my life?
Well, I mean, it depends on it depends on what the rabbit tattoos look like.
Okay, you go to the beach and you're with Grandma Blackhair, right? We're going to back it up. And Grandma Blackhair is going with, and they have the whole family's there, and you put out the blanket. And all of a sudden, he's in his bathing suit and there's 69 tattoos of rabbits. What does Grandma Blackhair say?
She takes her cigarette out of her mouth and says, honey, Peter Cottontail, can you pass me the copper tune? And that's what she says about
and
that.
And that's it? That's it?
Right. Yeah. I mean, God, right. Bob, I have had so many terrible men in my life, starting with my daddy. Here's a harmless gentleman with rabbit tattoos. You think I'm going to throw stones at that? If he's a good guy and I like rabbits, I'm okay with it. Now, there are tattoos,
saying
like bloody hatchets. No, I'm not good with that. I'm not good with that.
Okay. All right. So
it's
anyway, he's in the good
rabbits.
Okay. Yeah. Lamar?
A high-end sports car was allegedly stolen during a test drive in Kitchener, Waterloo. The owner told police he was trying to sell a black Lamborghini at an auto trader for $600,000. He had agreed to meet a prospective buyer just before 2 p.m. in a parking lot. The male suspect pulled up in a white Mercedes Maybach, said police, and he had some other passengers in the car. He then asked to take the Lamborghini for a test drive. According to the owner, the suspect was allowed to sit inside the vehicle while the keys were inside. Police said he closed the door to the Lamborghini, sped off towards Waterloo with the Mercedes going right behind him. Witnesses or anyone with information is asked to call Waterloo Regional Police. Listen, just so there is zero confusion, the actual moron here is not the guy that stole the car. He's a thief. But he's still not the moron, okay? Let's get that straight.
You're right about that. Who in the world has a... What did you say? It was $600,000?
$600,000 Lamborghini. Yeah,
$600,000 Lamborghini. And you're showing up at a random parking lot with no security? Yeah. He is the moron.
There you go.
And that is Morons in the News coming up. Comedian Dusty Slay complaining about daylight savings time. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
Okay, this is a very thrilling and dramatic lottery story. So a couple in Bowling Green, Kentucky found out back in November that they'd won $50,000 in the Kentucky lottery. And Mark Perdue, the husband, found out when the owner of the convenience store congratulated him and said, "Hey, buddy, you won the lottery." And Mark said, "I wish." And the woman said, "You did. I have you on video winning the lottery. $50,000 on a lottery ticket. Wow."
Yeah.
He goes home and he and his wife can't find the ticket. And they won't give you the lottery money if you don't have the ticket. They thought they had thrown the ticket away. For 3 months, his wife said, "I've been beating myself up. I thought I threw the ticket away." Then in February, Mark Perdue went to check out the condition of a company car, a car that isn't used very often, but was needed because a visitor from another plant where he works was in town and needed the company vehicle. And so he went out to make sure that the car was clean and had gas. And guess what was sitting in the console?
Really?
The winning lottery ticket.
And it was so good?
Mark Perdue said, "I don't know how long it might have sat there if I hadn't needed the car. I was shaking." He told his wife the next day they went to lottery headquarters and they got their money. After taxes, it was $36,000. And they said, "We're going to pay off a few bills and maybe take a little vacation." Can you imagine what he felt like when he sat down in that driver's seat and saw that ticket in the console?
Woo! I know how excited I am when I get a pair of pants out of the dryer and there's a 10 or a 20 in the pocket. Yeah. I also know how excited I am if I lose my car keys and I can't find them for 2 days and then they show up. I know.
Right.
This right here, I have a stroke. Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is so good. And I know there are people going, "Well, it's only $36,000. Well, how about if I give you $36,000 and then snatch it away? And then you can tell me how that's not that much money." Congratulations. Right. They found the lottery ticket. Yes. It's Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry website, the Oddcast, contest info, bobandsherry.com.
Well, welcome to the Bob and Sherry show with the entire gang. When Lamar, just before we went on, came up with a subject he'd like to talk about, I was against it. And everyone else, Max was a little uneasy, but I was overruled. The only thing I asked was that there are several disgusting words to describe this process. And I said to Lamar, "Please do not use those disgusting words." And he agreed.
Well, first off, Bob, it's not what you think. It's not what you think. What we're talking about is a drainage, a mucus drainage out of your nose. Okay.
Drainage?
Yeah. Well,
Lord.
I'm just saying, hold on, it's not gonna be as bad as you think it's gonna
be. I got the joke.
Bob.
as one who has done a joke over and over again, you should recognize their own kind.
They've done research about this, okay? They've done research. If you've got a blocked nose and you can't breathe, if you could do a few days of mucus treatment, it could cure that blocked nose and even hay fever up to 3 months, okay? Previous research has suggested that people with a more diverse array of nose bugs are less likely to suffer chronic congestion or hay fever. So, like, if your mucus is not getting the job done, maybe if they took my mucus and Sherry's mucus and a touch of Max's and dabble a little bit of Doc's in there and mixed it all up. Now, if you snorted that up, it would be one thing, but that would be unsanitary. What they're doing is They're mixing this up and putting it into a spray, just like you would buy it off the counter. But having those mixed up, you could not have to blow your nose for months. I mean, these are scientists from a university. Yeah.
What university is this?
The University of Lund.
So. I will.
What?
The University of Lund.
Lund.
This is from
L-U-N-D?
The International Forum of Allergy and Rhinology. I'm telling you, these are real people.
This is real science. They already know that they can, like, for children with chronic ear infections, that sometimes you can transplant some of the material inside another person's healthy ear to that child and help them with ear infections. We know about fecal transplants. Like, why not this? Right?
If you take a fecal tablet and swallow it, it will help treat C. diff.
The University of Lund, by the way, is from Sweden, and they've been around since 1666.
Yep.
Yeah. So don't mock. Don't mock. Right. And if you had a choice, you've got C. diff. Bob, we can give you a fecal transplant from Doc, or you can die. Let me tell you what, you're going to be begging Doc for that. You are going to beg him on your knees for that.
What's the mascot of the University of Lund? Like a penguin or something?
I don't think they have penguins in Sweden, but nice try.
Well, it's getting up there, though.
What you have to have.
It's a pancake. It's an IKEA dresser. I don't know. It's some cliched Sweden thing.
Now, listen, this
is why you shouldn't be grossed out by this. We have gotten very far off the rails in terms of our understanding of, like, health and the body and the natural environment. You wouldn't have been grossed out if Lamar had named, like, a long string of chemicals that was going to help you be healthier, because the big pharma industrial complex has conditioned us to believe that taking these chemical compositions is the ticket to health, when maybe, just maybe, like, we have some other options in addition to those. I'm not saying we get rid of big pharma, but maybe in addition to the little pill with the big story to tell, we also could have some of Doc's nose droppings. And be healthy, right?
Listen.
I thought Docs was the other end. Docs is doing
he's
the
both.
Nose too.
He's Bob, both. Yeah. He can do he's it both? All.
All right. I'm
Bob,
convinced. Doc,
I want you to
are,
think
are
this.
You in, Doc? I'm waiting for you, my man. I'm waiting for you.
I'm going to have to start charging a pretty penny for droplets.
All right. Bob. Would you not, to not ever have to have the sniffles or a stuffed up nose, would a snot swap be too much to think about? I mean, honestly.
You said you were not going to use that term, and there you
I'm
did.
I'm sorry.
Well,
I read this, and it was a medical term. It was a medical term.
That's not a medical term.
At the University of Lund, it is. I'm just saying.
The University of Lund.
But listen,
no,
before they do that, like, before you would get all of our mucuses, they would put us on antibiotics for 2 weeks, okay? So we're all on antibiotics for 2 weeks so that our mucus is healthy mucus. This is the same thing that people do for digestion. They need bacteria. Bacteria is not always bad. There's good bacteria. There's bad bacteria.
Every time you kiss your wife, you're swapping bacteria. You're swapping chemical messengers. You're swapping DNA. There is a lot to be said for remembering that not everything has to come from a laboratory.
Yes.
Many good things can come from Doc, and he's got the right name and everything.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Yeah.
Right. And if you think that he's comfortable with giving you some of his bodily products, you need to think again, mister. He's a very private person. He was only trying to save your life. You know what? You owe him an apology. Yeah.
Bob and Sherry.
True. Weird. Stuff.
She was known as the Giggling Granny, but behind the warm smile of Nanny Doss was the heart of a cold-blooded murderer. In 1954, she confessed that over the course of nearly 30 years, she'd killed 11 people. Four husbands, two children, one of her sisters, her own mother, two grandsons, and a mother-in-law. The casual killing of her own family members made Nanny Doss one of history's most notorious female serial killers.
True. Weird. Stuff.
New episodes drop every Friday, everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
Every month on the Bob and Sherry Show, we give away a fantastic vacation for a teacher to Margaritaville Beach. And it's a resort in Fort Myers. It is so beautiful. It's going to be a great time. And it's time to give away another one. And Sherry has the story behind the story.
This month's winner is Chris Wyatt of Hermitage, Tennessee. And he was nominated by his wife. And here's what she wrote. My husband Chris and I were both teachers and basketball coaches when our son was diagnosed with leukemia in 2021. Our son was sent to St. Jude in Memphis, Tennessee, where we stayed for 320 days. I had to resign from my job to become his full-time caretaker. My husband stayed with us as long as he could, but had to return to his teaching job an hour and a half away. Every week, he'd go home to work and stay with our other son Monday through Friday, and then return to the hospital on Friday nights. He'd stay at the hospital through Sunday and drive back so that he could be at work on Monday morning. He deserves a vacation more than anyone I know. He's currently teaching while I've stayed home to be available to take our son to his numerous appointments and navigate all that goes with having a child with multiple new disabilities. Our son, Brett, had a brain bleed, experienced multiple relapses, lost most of his vision, and had a life-saving bone marrow transplant. Oh, it was, as you can imagine, it was a very stressful time. But my husband found a way to continue teaching throughout our difficult journey. If you want to see more about our story, check out Brave Like Brett on Facebook. Also, I would just like to say that Bob and Sherry may not, know how much of an impact they have on people during difficult times. We spent an extended time inpatient in the hospital during COVID, so we were not allowed to have any visitors. It was a very isolating experience, and it was so nice to be able to listen to the podcast and hear some familiar voices take a break from all that was going on. Please thank them. They'll never truly know how much of a positive impact they've had on their listeners. Oh my gosh.
That is so sweet. She didn't need to say that. That is so sweet.
Chris Wyatt. And the idea, like for the kids in his classes and the kids on his basketball team, they probably had very little idea what Mr. Wyatt was going through.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Oh,
because
definitely.
He left that at the door and committed to being a teacher, an excellent and outstanding teacher. I mean, it's so humbling. Chris Wyatt, well, I've got good news for you because we are flying you to Margaritaville Beach Resort in beautiful Fort Myers Beach. Round trip airfare. You're going to have a car rental. And I promise to just leave you alone if you just want to sit and stare at the sun. We couldn't do this without our friends at Visit Florida. And it is it is humbling to know your story. And it is such a blessing to be able to send you on a much needed vacation to Margaritaville. And if you would like to nominate a teacher, and listen up, teachers, feel free to nominate your own bad selves because you have to do everything else from decorate your classrooms to pay for school supplies. Go ahead and nominate yourself right now at BOBANDSHERI.com. Every week, a teacher gets loaded up with swag, and once a month, we get one ready to put them on a plane and send them to gorgeous Fort Myers and the Margaritaville Beach Resort. Can you guys not remember like being kids and having sometimes the faintest inkling that your teacher was a human with some stuff going on in their life? Because I can remember a couple of instances like that for me.
You can? I can't for the life of me. But, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because once in a while I'll see somebody out there in the wild and they don't look quite right. You know, I mean, they're walking okay, but there's something in their face. And you just say to yourself, I don't know what they're going through, but I think this person is going through something right now. And I think we do, and especially me, because I can fly off the handle pretty quickly. You know, if somebody, you know, all of a sudden cuts you off in traffic and they're off and running and they're flooring the car, it could be something you don't even know about. It could be somebody, you know, going to the hospital and they want to be there. We just never know.
You don't know. And as kids, like, it's so hard to fathom that your teachers are actual people. Like, remember right. as a kid, how weird it would be to see your teacher at the grocery store. You'd be like, oh my God, Mr. Harmison eats. I'm never going to be able to live with this.
And then his wife would go, Ralph, does this look okay to you? And go, his name is Mr. Harmison. It's not Ralph.
How dare she call him Ralph? Like, when we're children, we don't even realize that our teachers are people because they leave it all at the door when they come into the classroom. Right. And it is shameful that teaching is not among our most venerated and highly compensated professions. Because, you know, we act like it's all about the children and everything. So, Chris Wyatt, I hope you have a blast at Margaritaville. Enter your teacher right now at BOBANDSHERI.com. This is Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Nissan.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh, and you probably really need it because it is the first Monday, the first work day after springing the clocks forward. Here's Dusty Slay.
All right, okay. I'm pumped to be here, pumped to be back in New York City. You know what I mean? We're having a good time. Okay. All right, we're having a good time. I am pumped to be here. I checked into my hotel the other day, and they gave me this little sheet of paper, and it was instructions on how to check out faster. I was like, oh, okay, well, let me ask you this. What's faster than just leaving? You know what I mean? That's how I've been doing it. I didn't even realize that was a checkout process, you know? I just felt like you see me leave here with all these bags, you know, and then you get up into that room and I'm not in there. You know I've checked out. I could still be checked into a lot of hotel rooms all across the country, you know? I start showing back up, trying to check in. They're like, sir, we're showing you're still checked in here. Yeah, you owe us quite a bit of money. We were wondering if you were still alive. You know what I mean? Okay, we're having a good time. Okay. You know what I mean? I hope one day that we get rid of daylight savings time. Thank you. I appreciate your support on that, you know? That's a change I'd like to see. Mainly so at some point in my daughter's life, I'd like to say to her, I'd like to go, hey, you know what we used to do back in the day? In the spring, we will move the time forward an hour, and then in the fall, we will move it back an hour. And she'll go, why? And I'll go, I don't know. Nobody knew. We did that our whole lives. Nobody liked it. We just kept agreeing to it. We just kept being like, yep, it is 4 o'clock. You're right about that. I thought it was 5 because it was 5 this time yesterday. But it is 4 today. That does make a lot of sense. Time is real, you know? And I thought the microwave was broke. You know what I mean? Okay, we're having a good time. I don't know if you know this about me, but I like to tell people we're having a good time. You know what I mean? And I will do it. And, okay. I'll just say to my daughter about daylight savings time, I'll say, you know, we just felt like in the wintertime when it was cold and everybody was sick and depressed, that we would just make it darker earlier. We were like, you know what this sadness needs? A sunset. Let's get a little moonlight in here on these tears. We're like, you cold? How about if we take the sun away? How's that make you feel? My favorite thing about the time change is how it gets dark at 8 o'clock, and then we move the time back 1 hour, and it gets dark at 5. I like that magic trick we do every year, you know what I mean? But we're having a good time. A lot of time jokes up here, you know what I mean? And I don't know why we keep track of time the way we do sometimes, you know? Like the other day, I asked this guy, I was like, hey, man, what time is it? He was like, it's 20 to 4. I was like, listen, if you don't know, just say you don't know. You know what I mean? Don't give me some kind of weird math problem. That's because I'm not wearing a watch. Now I got to take a quiz to get the time. I don't know why we break it down like that, you know? It's not shorter. 20 to 4, 3:40, it's about the same, right? Like, we don't break anything else down like that. We're not like, hey, what's this cost? $20 to $8. How old are you? 6 to 40. What month is it? 15 to February, you know what I mean? It doesn't even make sense. I don't get it. I don't know why we're doing it. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, though. You know what I mean? You guys remember that song, 5 o'clock somewhere? The song that justifies drinking any time of the day? Just say it's 5 o'clock and that's okay. It only works for drinking, though. You know, you can't show up late for work and be like, hey, 9 o'clock somewhere. Be nice if that did work, though. You know, if your boss is like, well, I can't argue with that logic. Get in here. He's like, dang, by that logic, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's get out of here. Hey, let's get a drink. What have we been doing in here? That song changed the way people talk for a long time. I saw this lady drinking in a hotel one day. She was like, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. I was like, it's 5 o'clock here, a.m. Like, this is the morning, lady. You're an alcoholic. You know what I mean? I was like, you need help checking out of this hotel or what? You know what I mean? Okay. You get it. We're having a good time. Thank you, guys.
Dusty Slay, welcome to Daylight Savings Time, everybody.
Yeah.
We're going to post it up at BOBANDSHERI.com. Click the menu tab. Look for Everyone Needs a Laugh. It's Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry website, the Oddcast, contest info, BobandSherry.com.
So the family of Lydia Guzman decided that they would take her to this nice little restaurant, casual place, kind of like a luncheonette, and she's sitting at the counter. She has not seen her son, Victor, in 7 years. I don't know what the deal is, but they arranged for Victor to be her waiter, and we're going to play the sound the moment she says, you know, that waiter looks like my son. And here we go.
The waiter right there.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Is this
guy Victor?
That is Victor.
Oh, my God.
So you can't see the video, but while she's losing it there, she starts shaking and crying, and she is burying her head into her son's chest and just kind of shaking, and he's smiling. It's a beautiful moment,
why
couldn't
they
figure it
each
out.
Other?
I don't know. The story
doesn't
tell us why, but they were very, very happy, and I'm just wondering, why didn't he stop by? You know, maybe he lives on the other part of the country. Was he calling her? I mean, it was a great thing, and it was also funny that she didn't recognize him at first. Does 7 years, you change that much in 7 years?
He did have dark glasses on.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, there it is. Well, it's a lovely little moment, and I'm glad Victor finally came home. The only other Victor I've ever heard of was in a soap opera. And I don't know It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
You can call us on the phone at 844-52-SHERI. Or if you want to chat, you can grab the free Bob and Sherry app in Google Play in the Apple Store. And there's a little microphone in the bottom center of the screen. Just tap it and talk, and the app will do the rest.
Well, about a week or so ago, we were talking about this flight. I think it was between Utah and Louisiana, and evidently they caught some wind, and it made the flight 45 minutes early because the plane, when it picked up the wind, was going over 800 miles an hour. And it was just blowing the minds of people who were aviation oriented. So we were just talking about it. And we've got a couple of calls and a lot of DMs with people who were interested in that and making us more aware. One gentleman called in and he called back once again, and we have him right here.
Hi, this is the guy from Maine. And just to say, Chair, you're right. If the wind is a tailwind, the plane will be going faster across the ground. If the wind is a headwind, it will slow the plane down. Now, in the second case, though, one thing to point out is if the airstream is the headwind, what they'll do is they'll adjust the altitude to, of course, avoid that headwind. Okay, that's it. Hope I didn't put you to sleep too quickly. Bye-bye.
Yeah, no, no, I followed that. But as right. as I've thought about this, because we've talked about this a lot, I've realized I just think I want to drive. I think that between the Boeings and the wind, I don't know, you know, like I'm a little nervous about the whole situation.
So we also, I asked the question, if you're on a plane and you drop a ball while you're on the plane and it's going 800 miles an hour or whatever, why doesn't the ball fly to the back of the plane? Because it doesn't, it's in space, right? It doesn't have, anyhow, we have an answer for that as well.
Hi, Bob, Sherry, Max, Doc, and Lamar. I'm Nicole from Eugene, Oregon, and I'm calling to answer Max's question about a ball on a plane and why it doesn't fly to the back of the plane when you drop it. And the reason is because you, the ball, the plane, the air inside the plane are all moving at the same speed, the speed the plane is moving. So when you drop that ball, it goes straight down because the only force acting on it is gravity. Now, if you were up that high moving that fast and the air around you was moving that fast and you dropped the ball would fly back behind you. So just wanted to answer that question for Max. Love you all. Hope you have a good day. Thanks. Bye.
Can I just say I didn't understand
I just don't
that.
Want to sit in the middle seat. That's all. I just don't want to
I mean, would there have to be like a window open for the ball to fly to the back?
No, you
because
would have to
the
be
plane
in
is pressurized, right?
Never mind.
Yeah, okay. You know what?
I'm that person that refuses to say I don't know. I got to shut up. I don't know.
I love that you thought that there might be a good answer to this, Bobby. I sort of kind of understand what she's saying, but I really don't because she's saying gravity is still at work. Obviously, the ball is falling. But why isn't it that once the ball starts falling, that it's in its own space and not part of the plane anymore?
But it's in the same space you are. It's an enclosed space.
It's pressurized. Why would you not fly to the back when you get up to go to the bathroom, which we will never do again after that door flew over?
Because you're rooted in the plane. Gravity has you on the floor of the plane. But what I'm saying is the ball is in air. It's not.
But gravity is still pulling the ball.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. How can I get a guy next to me to shut up and not talk during a flight?
Because you sit next to me, you can't.
That is true. But I know you. I know you. But if I didn't know you, I enjoy talking to you because I'm one of those people that I'll talk. People think I'm not friendly. I'll talk if I know you pretty well. But some stranger, I mean... Where am I going, sir? I'm going to I'm flying to Charlotte. Yeah, I'm in radio. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, Bob, as soon as you tell him you have a radio show, he'll pick up a book. Have you not learned
you know,
that is
true.
The quickest
that's
way
true.
To end a conversation?
True.
Tell them you're on a podcast.
That's
no, because then he'll want to talk.
The easiest thing to do is to listen to a podcast with headphones on. I mean, that's the trick, to not have anybody talk to you. Even if you're not listening to anything, just put the headphones on.
I'm tapping you, Bob. I'm tapping you on your shoulder.
No.
Excuse me. Excuse me, Bob.
Which is the great
thing. I just thought of something else.
No.
Which is the great thing about the Bob and Sherry Show. You can get it, the show, as a podcast. Plus, we have the off-air podcast called The Oddcast and True Weird Stuff, too.
And Talking Lamar, who never stops talking.
That's right. There you go. Well done. It's Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talkback. Talkback with the free Bob and Sherry app.
I have for you right now, direct from CNBC, the number one reason people get divorced, according to Kim Kardashian's high-powered divorce lawyer. So I'm just going to read this. If you followed any celebrity divorce in the last 30 years, you probably caught a glimpse of Laura Wasser. Wasser is a divorce attorney at Wasser, Cooperman, and Mandels, and she is the chief of divorce evolution at divorce.com, whatever that is. Here's what she says. She's, by the way, she's handled Britney Spears and many others. Celebrity divorces are not all that different from civilian divorces. I always say divorce is the great equalizer. People experience the same fear and the same heartache, regardless of whether or not they are a celebrity. That is an interesting way to put it. It's the great equalizer. In other words, yes, there are people out there who do not have these star-studded careers, and they go through misery when they're divorced. And we think the divorces in Hollywood, well, that's going to be a whole lot better. You know, they've got a lot of money. They can get a house right away. But she is saying it is an equalizer. They are just as miserable. The most common reason people choose to dissolve their union, famous or not, is also the fame. In other words, the stars, they're just like us. The reason people get divorced is because, and this sounds just so common, they don't communicate. All right. So don't tune me out right now, because she's going to get into specifics on this. The issue might manifest, for example, with an extramarital affair or unhealthy drinking habits, but the inability to communicate is usually the root of the problem. Prioritize having the not super sexy conversation before you wed is important. Many partners who choose to get married have not navigated long periods of discomfort. Because you don't develop the communication tools when things are going well, then when things are not going well, you will tend to not have the ability to discuss them. There are lots of not super sexy conversations couples should be having before they get married. And I'm going to give you those, but let me just say, I don't know anybody who's ever had these conversations prior to getting married, myself included. Here's one of them. Is it important that we send our kids to private school? Are you okay with my parents living with us in their old age? These talks are not fun, but can save you money and heartache down the road, should you not align. The other things, I'm just going to throw my own in here. How do you feel about saving money? How do you feel about paying for a kid's education beyond college? It's one thing after another. How much do you think we should spend on a vacation during a year, year after year? I don't know anybody that gets into this prior to marriage, but this makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I agree. And I can't imagine. I don't recall having any of those conversations. I mean, with my ex, he casually mentioned one day that, I think I'd like to homeschool our children. And I respond to that by going, that is a thing that will never happen. And it didn't. Mm-hmm. And that was the end of public school or private school.
Yeah.
And y'all do what you want. If you want to homeschool your kids, that's great. That right, was right. not a thing that was going to happen in my house.
Right. But he acquiesced. And was he really ticked off? Was he really ticked off that you said, no, we're not going to be doing that?
He's well, his reasons for it were not, I thought, coherent. Like there are people that homeschool their children for all sorts of reasons, but choosing to homeschool your children so you don't have to get a job is not a good reason in my book.
Oh,
and that's,
okay.
You know what? That's just me. Like I say, y'all do you. But my right. kids were going to go to school and they went to public school and they got great educations and they're doing fine. So, yeah, that was as close as that conversation ever came to public school or private school.
I can't see myself saying, well, let's talk about your parents. Do you want them to be moved? I don't see myself doing that. But I wish I had said, all right, how are we going to handle money here? You know, how are we going to handle the expenses? You got a lot of fancy friends. You know, what kind of a house, what kind of savings percentage wise are we going to put aside so that, you know, in our old age, we'll have a little something. I didn't do any of that. And I regretted it. So I think she's right with a lot of these things. You got to have a couple of hard conversations.
But no one does, right? Yeah. Like, you were old enough and smart enough and experienced enough to do it. And you didn't do
it.
I know.
And why didn't you do it? Because you were so afraid of rocking the beautiful, happy boat. Let's be real, why you didn't do it.
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes we don't ask a question because we're afraid that we might have to do something about the answer.
Oh, that's right on the money. You're exactly right.
So we just don't ask the question, and then we don't have to deal with it. Yeah.
Right. But can end up kind of heartbreaking down the road. There you go. It's Bob and Sherry. Can you believe this is sponsored by Progressive Insurance? Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
Believe this.
Everybody's heard the phrases, you're the apple of my eye. He's sowing his wild oats. You're a big cheese. That's a red herring of an argument. This job is a piece of cake, but I bet you don't know where a lot of that stuff comes from. And I was so blown away. Let's start with you're the apple of my eye. So way back in the day, people believed that the pupil of your eye was solid. They didn't understand that it was like an aperture, like a window, right? They thought it was just a solid black chunk of something. And they called it the apple. Shakespeare used it in A Midsummer Night's Dream. And it was used in Sir Walter Scott's Old Mortality, and this ancient king, Alfred of Wessex, that no one's ever heard of. They all talked about how the pupil was like an apple, and it became the like something precious, because you wouldn't want your eye to get plucked out, right? What could be more precious than your eye? So since they already called the pupil the apple, did you know this, by the way? Because this was so random and insane. Because they already used that, then it became the apple of my eye. But let me tell you how the word pupil came to be chosen for the black dot in the center of your eye. It comes from a Latin word that means boy or girl or self. And they called the dark center of the eye the pupil because when you're looking into another person's eyes, you can see yourself in that pupil. And that's how it got its name, which I thought was absolutely wild. You know, we never think to even ask these questions, right? Or question this. Where did the big cheese come from? This one's pretty new. When the phrase the big cheese came to America, it was in the early 20th century. And that's because in America, our cheesemakers made gigantic cheeses compared to the size of the cheeses made by cheesemakers like back home in England.
That's really?
Because it was just bigger in America. Did you know that? Yeah. Is that not
fun?
That is cool. All right, sowing your wild oats. There's a species of grass that's part of the oat family that's been called wild oats by English-speaking people for centuries. But farmers hate it because it's useless as a cereal crop. And it's really hard to separate these wild oats from the cultivated oats that we turn into like oatmeal. Sowing wild oats is a completely useless endeavor. And the phrase started out applying to people who did silly things in their free time because they were wasting their time. It was pointless what they were doing. And I don't know what they were doing, like playing with yo-yos or sailing on a boat. Who knows what people did back then? But they
said that changed.
Sowing their wild oats. Like if somebody says so-and-so is sowing their wild oats, they don't mean that you're doing useless pastimes. The last one, that the phrase, take it with a grain of salt, that comes like all the way back centuries when one of these Roman emperors found in his private files a recipe for an antidote to poison. And here's the antidote. Take 2 dried walnuts, 2 figs, and 20 leaves of rue. Pound them all together with the addition of a grain of salt. If a person takes this mixture while fasting, he'll be safe against all poisons for the day. Take it with a grain of salt. meant.
That's where that
literally
came from. What,
yeah.
What is rue? Is that R-U-R-U-E?
It's a plant. R-U-E. It's,
oh,
a,
it's
plant.
A plant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a plant. Uh-huh. So take it with a grain of salt meant so that you don't get poisoned today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
the people of the olden times were, when they weren't like writing, like in like poetry and history, they were killing each other with poison. It's a wonder right. any of us are here. We'll post this up on Facebook. You can check out. There's a whole bunch of these. It's really, really fun. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you about this little study that was done about favorite songs that are guilty pleasures. So I have to set this up because some of these songs, people just love it. They're going to say, why do you call that a guilty pleasure? That's one of my favorite songs. I don't have to feel guilty about it. For some people, it's just not their genre, but they like the songs anyway. So here are the top five. For a lot of folks, they're guilty pleasures. Number five, I'll Do Anything for Love by Meatloaf. I could
yeah,
see that
okay.
being a guilty
yeah.
pleasure, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number four, Never Gonna Give You Up, Rick Astley.
Yeah. Excuse me, I refuse to feel guilty about that one. That's just a pleasure.
That's good.
You see, I knew that would happen. I knew that would happen with this. But again, it could be somebody else, not somebody else's thing. They don't like that kind of rhythm. They don't like Rick Astley. I don't know why you wouldn't, but they love that song because it's just, it's very cool. Number three, The Final Countdown by Europe.
Oh, sorry.
I know. Number two, and this will get a lot of blowback, including from your girls, Africa by Toto.
There's nothing
pleasure.
To feel guilty about. Absolutely nothing. That is a great song.
It is a great song. But once again, there are certain people that like, I don't know, country, or they like hard rock. But they still like that Toto song. And number one, Max has it right here.
And I will always love you.
So if you're a headbanger, you know, like hard rock, you like country, you like classical music, it's not your thing, but it's kind of hard to beat her
but
voice
this,
and
this
song.
This is a masterpiece. I mean, if you want to feel
it
guilty
is.
About something, how about that time you shot a man in Reno just to watch him die? What are you doing feeling guilty about this?
Those are
this
great
is
lyrics.
Amazing.
There you go, folks. Believe it or not, it's Bob and Sherry.
Thanks for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast. Have you checked out our Oddcast podcast? That's where you can find all the stuff we can't do on the radio, including the Talkin' Lamar podcast. In this episode of Talkin' Lamar, I'm talking about the Ghostbusters movie, Ghostbusters Afterlife. That's the one right before the new one is coming out. And if you're interested in that, you like it, make sure you go back and look at my previous podcast, Bustin' Ghost. That's about the original Ghostbusters. There's some facts and different things that you may or may not know and might have forgot. So check them both out. Thank you so much.
So I have never been on a dating site. I would meet my my women out there in the wild, and it's worked out pretty good for me. But I know I'm in the minority now, and I was very interested to look at a study of people who are online looking to find, you know, someone in their life. 16% of single men who are on dating sites say this is the first thing they look at on the site. What do you think it is?
The photo.
Yeah.
Okay. There's the photo. We'll give you the photo. What's the next thing they look at on the dating site?
The age?
Nope.
Do they have education level?
Nope. You know what
I
it
knew
is?
It wasn't that.
And these are men. These are men. I think this is even higher for women. Employment
job?
Status. Do they have a job?
Yes.
Do you have a job? Isn't that interesting?
That
Not,
is so
you know,
interesting.
Where are you from? You know, do you have siblings? You know, what are your favorite recreational pastimes and all of that? It is, do you have a job? And I think that may be higher. I don't know why. I think that may be higher for women. I don't have that statistic. But I'll see like stand-up comedians a lot of times, women, and they will say, "Yeah, met a guy the other day, and you know, he's talking to me, and he's got a car," and I just say, "Honey, do you have a job?" And you know, if you don't have a job, man, I got to move along. Which, you know, some of us have been out of work, you know, not because, you know, we're bad people. We just, you know, don't have a gig at the time. So it must be more difficult. But I think this is something that's fairly new because apartments are expensive, right? You might need to have somebody helping out a little bit.
I mean, I could be so many reasons why. That's the first thing that they look at. I mean, a person's occupation does tell you something about them, you know?
Yeah, that's like true.
You look at the occupation, oh, she's a police officer, or, oh, he's a flight attendant. And that, what does right. that tell me immediately? He's gone a lot.
He travels a lot.
He's not going to be around much.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
This person is a teacher. This person's a paramedic. This person is in tech sales. Like, I think that even though we are not our jobs, don't you think that you can make a lot of pretty decent guesses about a person based on their job?
Yeah,
I think it would help me if whatever they're doing is interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because automatically that's going to be a very great conversation. That gives us something to talk about because I'm interested in what
No doubt about that. There's no doubt about what you said. But the number one answer here beyond, you know, taking a look at the picture is employment status, not the type of job. It's status. Thumbs up or thumbs down. Do you have a gig?
Yeah, but and it's not going to say employed or unemployed. It's going to say works at and give you that information, right?
I mean, I guess I can't imagine like, well, I'm on here I am on Hinge. So I'm not going to have any deadbeat in my roommate situation. It just seems premature to be worried about whether or not they can pay rent. But
these people don't feel that way.
I want to make sure they're not going to kill me first. I don't want to be killed. That's
fine. I don't know how you figure that out.
Would that be, let's say that you were single and out there in the world, would that be something that you looked at? First or second?
What are you kidding? Knowing my history, are you kidding me? Of course not.
Exactly. You would not.
Of course not.
To look at that at all.
But this is a different era.
Carla and I just had this conversation a week or so ago, and I know some people that met online, and now I know a lot of people because now it's the thing. I mean, it is the thing. When it first started, I was like, what? What? So I missed all that. I missed all of that. And I'm sort of glad.
Me too.
I don't know if I'd like to do it online.
I mean, I'm the most likely candidate in this conversation to be focused on does this brother have a job, right? With some of the experiences.
I was actually waiting on that. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
So you're not in that 16%. You're not saying does the brother have a job when you're looking if you're single?
I hate what I'm about to say because it's a very cut and dried statement and it's very judgmental. But I ain't dating you if you ain't got a job. I'm just not doing it.
There you go.
And not because of the money, though, Bob. No, but you miss. Not because of the money, but because it has been my experience that people need something to do.
And
if they don't have enough to do, they make mischief.
Right.
And they are a pain in the ass. So I need to know you have something to fill your days.
No, it's a good point. It's a very good point. Yeah. This is Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
I'm sure we've all eat at a Planet Hollywood, have we? Everybody here?
Long time ago.
Yeah, I actually have. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
With my kids.
Now, we all agree that you go in there because it's a really, really cool place. But did anybody have any food that was any good?
No.
Not, you know what? It wasn't bad, but it wasn't memorable.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It just says chicken fingers.
It was a so-so burger. So-so burger. Yeah.
It's a burger. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you go in there to see all the stuff. Well, you know, they did really good when they first started off. And mm-hmm. then all of a sudden, things started to go a little bit different. I think they might have oversaturated, you know, because like at one point, you had to really go find a Planet Hollywood. Okay.
Right.
But then it's like they're everywhere. And I think they oversaturated and they started going downhill. And now they filed bankruptcy twice. They have filed bankruptcy twice within 3 years. And it's so what they're doing now is they're selling off their memorabilia. And you can go online to Heritage Auctions. Mm-hmm. And you can just go through and buy, like, the plank that Rose was on when Jack drowned.
You're kidding.
Right now it's sitting at $40,000. That's the high point right now.
Wow.
Indiana Jones's bullwhip, $30,000. The axe that Jack Nicholson used in The Shining, it's sitting at $10,000. And here's one that's really odd. Jurassic Park, the Barbasol shaving cream can that the bottom came out and you had the DNA and stuff, you know.
Yeah. The amber. Yeah.
$25,000 so far.
Whoa.
Yeah. There's just all, I mean, you can go on here and just go across. They've got a ton of Beetlejuice stuff. I mean, they've just got tons and tons of stuff. You can do it online, and I guess if you win the bid or whatever, then it's yours.
I didn't even know they were still in business. So they're still in business, but they're closing doors now? Is that what you're saying?
They're only going to keep a couple of them open. I think one in Los Angeles, I think it's going to stay open. Another couple, but, you know.
I went to one in Florida, and it was pretty good. I forget the stuff, but then I went to one somewhere else in an area that was not a show busy area, and I'm looking up on the wall, and they got like Ward Bond's boots, and evidently Ward Bond was like a 50s, you know, television actor. I think they were running a little slim with the memorabilia that were up on the wall. Wasn't Sylvester Stallone one of the original investors in that?
And Arnold Schwarzenegger,
too. Yeah, that sounds
Arnold
right.
Schwarzenegger and Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis. The three of them jumped in on it. And, of course, Schwarzenegger, an excellent businessman, he slid out. When it first started to he could tell.
Oh, is that right?
It wasn't working. Yeah.
What's amazing is it's been around for 33 years.
That is.
Yeah.
So why would that go belly up and Hard Rock Cafe is still, you know, pretty strong? It's a pretty strong brand.
How many Hard Rock Cafes
are they? That's the question.
Vegas,
London, Orlando, New York, LA.
In the Caribbean.
I think Hard Rock is a stronger brand than Planet Hollywood was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me see. There are 74 countries. There are 172 restaurants of Hard Rock and 37 hotels and 4 casinos.
Have you ever been to the one in London, anybody?
Yes, I have.
I have too. Yeah.
I took the kids over there, and they took us on a tour down in the bottom where the safe and stuff is.
Right. That was the coolest room ever. It was the coolest room ever.
First one. And I was there with a date. Actually, we were in London, and we're sitting there, and somebody said, "You see that guy at the bar?" And there's this guy with a dark suit at the bar. He's leaning against the bar. This is the middle of the day. And they said, "That's the guy that started the Hard Rock Cafe with another guy. And he is married to Ringo Starr's first wife." And so I'm looking at the guy, and all of a sudden a group of American college girls come in, and they're sitting at a circular table. There's probably six to eight of them. And the guy who's the owner notices them, and he snaps his fingers, and here comes a bottle of champagne. And he goes over, and I don't know what he is saying, but he's welcoming them to London and the Hard Rock Cafe. And he says, "I'd love to treat you to the champagne." and their faces lit up. Now, this is when it was starting. Don't you know, every one of them went back and said, you have got to go to the Hard Rock Cafe. They love us over there.
Oh, yeah.
That is a good businessman. Yeah. Very cool.
That was very
it's Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
I love your name.
Pagan. Hi, Pagan.
Pagan, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much. I love your show. So I was actually listening to one of the other podcasts. I listen to every day at work. And I remember someone talking about the Frito-Lay boxes on their heads. And it actually reminded me of when I was in elementary school. And my teacher actually placed me in a box, like a stove or a refrigerator. I don't remember which, but it was a big box. And I could only see one side of the room. So either like the back of the classroom or the whiteboard, I couldn't see any of the other kids.
Why was that, Pagan? Was it because you couldn't stay in your chair and stop talking?
So it was because I was a disturbance to the other children. They'd already kicked me out of school not long before that. I was just allowed back in school again. They kicked me out of school for 2 weeks for mental evaluations. They didn't know if I had a learning disorder or behavioral disorder. Turns out I didn't. When they allowed me back into school, they said I was too much of a disturbance. So this was to keep the other kids isolated from me.
That could never happen today. I just don't see any school in the country saying, Pagan, get in the box.
Pagan, I'm trying to imagine when my girls were like in second grade, Karamia coming home and saying, my teacher says I have to sit inside a refrigerator box every day. I would be like, what?
I'm just curious, Pagan. This was elementary school. What?
Yes.
Can you recall what your crimes were that got you kicked out of school for 2 weeks? Exactly what were you doing?
I wouldn't sit still on my seat. I would wiggle around. I would sit upside down with my head on the ground. I would take my bra off. I wouldn't keep my shoes on. And I would hop around in my seat.
You know, with the exception of the bra, I do those things every day here in this studio, and nobody has put me in. Nobody's going to put Bobby in a box. That is just so surprising that they could get away with that. Wow.
In the long run. My mom actually had a fit and went up to school.
That was my next question. Yeah. What did your parents think about this?
So I don't remember the exact details of it because they took me out of the classroom in the middle of it. But my mom went up there raising Cain and basically cussed the teacher out. The principal got involved. And then the cops got called out. And my mom had to be physically escorted by the police off her premises, and then she got banned for the rest of the school year.
Oh, my. You were that family, weren't you?
Pagan, how much do you think your name factored into some of these early elementary school teachers treating you like a monster from Where the Wild Things Are? How much of that?
I don't think it was so much my name as my uncle, because my uncle was 4 years older than me, and we went to elementary school together. And he was a terror, and none of the teachers liked
was
my
that Uncle Heathen or Uncle Demon? Which uncle was that?
Well, his name was David, but, you know, Demon would fit as well.
Your uncle was how much older than you?
4 years older.
You have an interesting family, I have to tell you. Now, the question that everybody wants to know, you were this little hellion. Your mother sounds like she was one, and then you got your uncle going. How did you turn out?
I actually am very, very self-supportive. I have a good life. I support myself. I'm the black sheep of the family because I'm self-sufficient and I'm not in jail and prison like everybody else, and I'm not on drugs.
Very good. Give her a round of applause. Excellent. Have you ever been in jail?
No. I have never been in jail.
But the rest of the family seems to be familiar with it.
Oh, yeah.
Are you the only?
Almost like a day.
Are you the only member of the family that's not been to jail?
No, my little sister is also very well behaved. She's got kids. She's married. She has a good life as well.
What did they send What did they send your mother up the river for?
Oh, you name it. Not so bad for her. Hers is just mostly alcohol and drug abuse.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you struggled coming out of a tough situation and you did okay, huh?
I did. I got a good life.
Good. You and the sister. Very, very good. Well, Pagan, do you love your name or do you hate your name? Be honest.
I love my name.
It's so unusual. I read a novel once and one of the characters was named Pagan. And I think it's Irish. Hers was like spelled a little differently.
I guarantee you, Pagan's
yours?
Not sure.
Pagan. And Pagan. They called her Pagan. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Yeah.
How did you get the name?
So my grandma actually is the one who named me. She mostly raised me. My mom was a teen mom. So my mom was only 16 when she had me. So my grandma actually raised me with my uncle. So my mom and my grandma used to watch a soap opera when my mom was pregnant. And one of the people in the soap opera was named Pagan, P-A-G-A-N. And that's how my grandma pronounces my name is actually Pagan, like the religion. But the doctor, when my mom was giving birth, had fit because my mom was 16, unmarried teen. And didn't, of course, like the Wiccan name, so they changed the spelling to P-E-G-A-N after doctor had a fit during delivery.
What happens around you is not your responsibility or your fault. You just have to make the very best life for yourself that you can, and it sounds like you and your sister did that.
We're very impressed with you, Pagan. Thank you so much for listening, too.
And I love your name.
I love your show. Thank you.
I would never put you in a giant appliance box.
No.
It's just wrong on so many levels.
In some ways, I kind of liked it because at least then I didn't get yelled at by the teacher to sit still. She just kind of let me do whatever I wanted.
Yeah, well,
there are some holiday parties. If they said to me, we're going to give you some meatballs and a drink, but you have to be in the box, I'm in.
But did you hear Megan? Yeah. She did what she wanted to do. Yeah. You know what? Glass half full.
Yeah, right.
It is Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
I can't even believe what I'm about to say, but experts in artificial intelligence predict that we will be able to talk to animals within the next 1 to 3 years.
You're kidding.
Your pets, but also like whales and bats. They're using something called digital bioacoustics. These are tiny portable digital recorders that capture all the sounds and like little ticks that animals have that we don't necessarily decipher. And AI is going to put all of that, like, let's just talk about dogs for a second. Mm-hmm. They're going to basically create a synthetic dog that speaks dog. And in the next 12 to 36 months, you should be able to have a conversation with Finn. And it's like ChatGPT for your dog. Finn, you will understand what Finn is saying to you with the help of AI.
Same
cat.
Don't want it.
I know why.
Darby hurt my feelings, and I don't want it.
I know exactly what you're saying. It's the one creature you can love that doesn't really respond to anything but love. You're right.
Yeah.
Here's why I don't want it. Because my cats only have one thing to say. And that is, I could eat something now. I don't know about you, I could eat.
That's true.
I could eat.
Dogs are worse.
But Larry Munson, what is like reality like for you? Reality is like I could eat something right now. Like if there's a snack, I could eat that. I could eat that whole snack right now. How about you, Tiberius? I could also eat.
Finn would be saying, I want scratches. Keep up the scratches. Don't stop scratching. Keep scratching.
Larry Munson would say, you can scratch me if you want, but how about while you're scratching me, you put a chicken nugget in my mouth? Because I could eat something right about now.
That's crazy.
It's Bob and Sherry. Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review. And maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.